Welcome to the Cult Video Vault. It gives me no pleasure whatsoever to present your hosts, Robbie and Greg.
Hello and welcome to the Cult Video Vault. I'm Robbie with my co-host Greg. In every episode, we pull a movie from the vault and discuss its qualifications as a cult film. Greg, how are you?
I'm feeling super.
Me too. Today, we are hopping down the warp pipe and watching 1993 Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Bros?
Yeah. Bros.
Bros. Mario and Luigi are stalwart heroes. Follow Princess Daisy to Dinohattan as they try to stop King Koopa from using the princess in a rock to merge dimensions back together. You know, just like in the video game. It features de-evolution and utterly confused Dennis Hopper and honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
From Hollywood Pictures, the Mario Brothers are out to rescue a kidnapped princess.
You better not hurt her!
Who will take them out of this world into another dimension. Where are we?
Yes!
Luigi!
Get him!
Are you alright?
Super Mario Brothers. This ain't no game. Starts Friday, May 28th at a theater near you.
I don't know what's going on
Robbie,
in this movie.
Robbie, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
You sure? Okay, I'm assuming you didn't watch this as a child.
I think I had to have. I know I've seen this before, and I know that I watched it when I was a kid. I loved Mario Brothers when I was a kid. Of course I did. Yeah. I was a child.
Yeah, we were 8 when this came out.
We were. That's the age of, like, I want to go see the Mario Brothers movie, even though this is not for children. but I know I had to have seen it. I know I did. But yeah. I don't remember my... I'm guarantee you my impression was, what's going on? I mean, like, I have that now. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure... probably definitely hit me when I was 8 or 9 or whenever, when I watched this the first time. We were like, I probably went to my parents and went, Mom, what's happening?
I grew up in a household where we watched a shit ton of movies. There's a few movies with very similar styles, but for some reason, this one always stuck out to me because it had departed so far away from the existing source material.
It's truly a baffling. You yeah. watch this, like, I've played every Mario game.
Uh-huh.
I love Mario.
Yeah.
But when I play a Mario game, I don't go, you know what? This would make a great movie.
So you got to think back at 1993, and the newest Mario game that had come out was Super Mario World with the dinosaurs and Yoshi.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't exactly a shit ton of lore already in existence for Mario, and Nintendo felt that the property was so strong that going off on this wild disconnect tangent from the source material would be fine and it would still make money. And I also believe that they were just morbidly curious on, hey, let's see if Mario can actually be ruined. What do we have to lose?
It didn't hurt Mario as a property.
No, not at all.
No, it's not that. I do wonder if things like this led to Nintendo being so protective.
Absolutely. They didn't license another movie until 30 years later. Like, we just got a new Mario Brothers movie. It's been 30 years between films. So, yeah, I think they were very cautious with what they decided to license.
I don't blame them.
It was a commercial flop. It was a critical flop. People don't like it, but I kind of like it.
Of course. I do. Of course
I do. I thoroughly enjoy this movie. Part of it is nostalgia, for sure, but I like that it's different. I like that it's weird. I love the cast. I love the art direction. My son, he's almost 8, and we watched it together for the podcast, and he had seen it before, and he watched the whole thing again and legitimately had a good time with it. He's a weird dude, but...
Well, he is your son.
But I think we've gotten to the point that Mario has been through so many different iterations. Like, we've got Mario playing golf and soccer and all of these other video games that it doesn't matter if you just pick up Mario and throw him into a new universe. It doesn't matter. because he just kind of fits in with whatever's going on. As somebody who enjoys the property of Mario Brothers, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. This is just one of those tangents.
At no point while I'm watching this movie, know what's going on. I don't understand.
It's 'cause you didn't pay attention.
No, I mean, I paid attention. Like, I know, like, okay, there, Princess Daisy.
Yes.
Is the egg that they drop off at the beginning.
Yes. It's so yes. She hatches out of an egg because she herself
it's a dinosaur.
Is descended from dinosaurs.
And like, I know that. And know she has a piece of a meteorite.
Uh-huh. The meteorite that split our universes 65 million years ago.
How did it do that?
Because that's what it did, Robbie.
Okay.
Because that's what it says in the script.
Oh, that's, I mean, there you go. I think you're getting to it.
Yeah.
My problems. So we have split parallel dimensions, parallel Earths. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Why is their Earth bad?
Well, no, it's just New York.
It's not just New York. It's Dino Hatton for some reason. But it's only like it's a mega city. It's like Judge Dredd, where like there's like a big city.
So I have a belief that there was a path, obviously, because Princess Daisy's mom got to the surface somehow. I would imagine that there was some type of influence back and forth. We didn't know, but they didn't. That was a path that they chose not to follow.
I just don't understand, like, and it's just like all of these, you know, world building is basically just like thrown aside. You're like, I'm like, and then you get it in big, giant, weird info dumps or very clearly added on after the fact. There's lots of ADR Dennis Hopper, like, and then I have to get the rock and the princess. And I don't know. I read stories, interviews with the directors much later, and they're like, Dennis Hopper, he was not pleasant to work with. He didn't know what was happening, I think.
Right. Well, but that's vice versa, though. Like, anybody who talks about working with the directors of the movie, it was a wife and husband team. And apparently didn't discuss anything prior to walking onto the fucking set. So all of the like creativity or arguments or anything that happened just kind of happened on set while everybody else was standing around going, what the fuck is going on?
You can tell because every scene, like, it feels like it's not just, oh, this isn't a kid's movie. Because it's not a kid's movie.
No, not at all. It never feels like a kid's movie. It wasn't written as a kid's movie. Like, when it was originally conceived, it wasn't supposed to be a kid's movie. And it wasn't until Disney, Buena Vista, ended up getting distribution rights that they were like, hey, you need to zhuzh up the script a little bit because we're expecting families to go see this. And right now, your S&M bar in the middle of Dino Hatton isn't going to fly.
It's not just that it's not a kid's movie. It feels like every scene feels like they're not all in the, like, they're all from different movies. Like, it feels like, like, it's okay. Like, it's like a different super, like, you talk about Mario hopping between stories. It feels like a lot of the scenes are like, oh, well, we want to do like they're wandering on the desert. Like, it's supposed to be, I don't want Mad Max or even like, speaking of the Stallone Judge Dredd, because there is a long sequence in the middle of that movie where he's out in the desert. Very different from, oh, now we're in a club and Mario is seducing the bouncer.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So that he can get the necklace, the stone that's on a necklace from her.
Okay. We gotta take a little sidetrack, and I do want to talk about the casting.
Okay.
Because, okay, Bob Hoskins is a fucking no-brainer casting as Mario, right? Like, if you're going to cast somebody in 1993, who are you going to cast as Mario? Well, Bob Hoskins.
I have a quote for you. Bob was no-brainer, unabashed, shameless, physical typecasting.
Yes.
I mean, it's right. It's true. It is perfect. He looks the part. I mean,
you see the way that he was in Roger Rabbit, right? He's very similar. I love Mario in this, and I love his chemistry with Luigi, with John Leguizamo. Like, whenever he was first revealed as Luigi, me and my brother were like, what is this? No, that he doesn't even have a mustache. No, it's not Luigi. But as an adult looking in on it, to see the contrast between the two, like there's great chemistry between Bob and John. I would say that Luigi's perpetual optimism is a breath of fresh air because this whole world feels grimy and dirty and dark.
Yes.
And he has a playful mood to him where there's always possibility. There's always something good around the corner. Where Mario is trying to like keep his head out of the clouds, but also doesn't necessarily discourage him from being optimistic. You can tell that he feeds off of it and they work really well together. It's the freaking Mario Brothers movie. It's not great, but there are moments I still think would have benefited the newer movie if they would have pulled a little bit of the character dynamics.
They have personality. I hate to say it, they're better actors than both Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are better actors than the people in the animated film.
Yes.
It's that. It has that life. The pro of this movie is I think why it has gotten a cult following over the years is that because it is filled probably with too much personality, too much energy, too many ideas, just everything. It's just everything. Everything is on there. So it's not boring, and it's certainly not generic. Everything feels very bespoke, but I don't know. Why is King Koopa so obsessed with mud?
Because it's clean and dirty at the same time.
But what? Blade? What does that mean?
Dude, Dennis Hopper. Okay. Hot take. Dennis Hopper as Donald Trump as King Koopa.
That definitely stands out in this. That is absolutely 1000%. Like, he's just playing. Feels like he's playing Donald Trump as King Koopa. And it's certainly there. But it's like, again, all the politics stuff is very half-baked. So it's like, you get.
They don't dive too deep into any of that. But he's an evil son of a bitch.
He is.
Or son of a snake.
Egg-sucking son of a snake is what he says. Right. That's another question. Is like, he's King Koopa, but you see him like in a police station early on when they get Mario and Luigi. And in the end of the movie, he's just running around with a gun. And there's parts of
it. I mean, how many times has Donald Trump said that he could like shoot somebody in the middle of the street?
Here's the
nobody would
get your Medium essay written right now, Kirk. You got a Mario Brothers, King Koopa parallels. It's just very. I'm like, wait a minute, is he's the king? And this is what this movie's done.
Do what he wants, man.
This is what this movie has done to me. Where I'm like, I can't help. I'm like, I keep going. Every time we bring up an idea, I'm like, wait a minute, and it sparks 10 questions in my mind. Like, wait,
yeah.
How does that...
It's intermission time, folks.
It's time for another intermission at the Cult Video Vault. Today's topic, video games and movies. Why on earth, when you combine the two properties, do you most likely get something that is absolute trash, whether it be a movie based on a video game or a video game based on a movie? Robbie, your thoughts?
First thing I was gonna say is that they're not all trash.
Right.
They're just mostly trash.
Mostly.
I looked through long lists of both of video games that have turned into movies and movies that have been turned into video games. Most of them are trash, but there's some ones that stand out. That are either good or at least watchable or fun. But I think largely it's because most of the time, again, this is not applying to the exceptions, and I think things are changing slightly nowadays. But historically, it's because people just want cash grabs.
Yeah, it's another IP to cash in on.
They're not hiring auteurs. They're not hiring people who have thought like interesting viewpoints or perspectives.
Or they're not even hiring fans of the existing property.
Right. They're just hiring, you know, journeymen who can turn out a product.
Yeah.
That they can throw out to the public and say, look, you like this thing, buy my thing.
Right.
And oftentimes, like, they don't understand what the original is. Or, honestly, there's just lots of video games that they're not really good to make a movie about.
I would also go out to say that it depends on the video game and when the movie was released. So, growing up, the big four that stand out to me were Super Mario Brothers. That was the first one. Double Dragon, Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Right? Those were the big four movie adaptations of video games that were extremely fucking popular, and almost all of them were bad.
Mortal Kombat is the only one I enjoy anymore.
So I'm looking at, okay, I just pulled up Rotten Tomatoes. It is the highest of the four with a 45%.
I mean, it's not a good movie, but right. I do like it. You know, we just talked about Mario Brothers. Like, it's not right. So not a like a great movie, but you can enjoy it. Mortal Kombat at least resembles the video game mostly. Everything else is just a mess.
Yeah, Street Fighter, what a fucking train wreck of a movie. I tried watching that not too long ago, and I just can't get through it.
It's very boring.
I love Raul Julia. I love most of the... Jean-Claude Van Damme, of course. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun. It's just not engaging at all.
Raul, the only thing coming out of the Street Fighter movie is the Raul Julia meme. For me, it was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. That's the only thing I take from that movie. The rest of it is you don't need it. You can see a change, I think, lately, like especially with like Last of Us. It makes sense that Last of Us is good because the video games themselves are very film-like. But
yeah, exactly. I was just about to say it goes in a completely different direction whenever you have an existing property that already fits the mold of like, hey, I would like to play that movie. You know, like it is more film-like than video game-like.
Right. I mean, and you see that's the change in video games over the years as they mm-hmm. we have advanced technology and you can make filmic video games that are very cinematic and can more easily be adapted to a television show or a movie. It's not just that. I think it's also like, oh, now we're going to get people who are actively trying to write good stories and compelling plot in the adaptation. It's not like it's going to do it itself. Even if you just took Last of Us and ported it over, it's still not going to be there because there's still a lot of reliance on gameplay stuff to carry the story. When you have people who are actively trying to make a compelling story, you have chops who can write something, and it requires an understanding of the themes and the tone of the video game if you want to port it over and you are looking for a similar audience.
We've talked about whenever you adapt a video game into a movie. Let's talk about whenever you take a movie and try to turn it into a video game. Now, most of those we can all agree is just merchandising. That's all that is trying to go along next to the movie and make more money, not necessarily make a good game.
Cash grabs.
Exactly.
Same thing.
There are the occasional games that are superior mm-hmm. than the movie.
There are. I have one right on the top of my head. It is the Wolverine Origins game.
Dude, I was just about to say the same thing.
I mean, it's a great game.
It's so good. PS3 game. Holy shit.
Maybe my favorite Wolverine in any video game.
Because it doesn't follow the movie.
It doesn't. It ignores the movie. And completely. just lets you be, frankly, it's the part where you can get to play as Wolverine and you kill people.
Body to body, just shredding everything up.
And I think that's part of why it's like it understands way better than that movie does the character of Logan and or Wolverine mm-hmm. and the fact that like no he has claws That's like, and that's what makes him special in the X-Men in general, is like, oh, he's the berserker. He is this restrained rage, and he's there. He's was built to kill. He doesn't have a stun setting, really. Like,
yeah.
And there, you see so many video games that have to be very careful with the properties they've licensed. They can't portray them this way or that way. You can't have them breaking people's necks. And like, for a lot of superheroes, that's perfectly fine because a lot of superheroes have codes of ethics. They don't kill. But yeah. Wolverine's not that guy.
No, he's an anti-hero. Exactly. That's why people gravitate towards him.
You can throw back to The Lion King and Aladdin in the SNES days, Sega Genesis days.
Oh my God, dude. The Lion King was one of the hardest fucking games. Like, how are you expect children to beat that game?
You got to sell Game Genie somehow.
Holy hell, man. That was hard as hell.
It's very hard, but they were well made, and they look great, and they're fun until you die 50 times in a row.
But you throw the controller across the room.
Right, but it's still like, it's that swath of most of the games are pumped out by not a big video game studio, but they're given to somebody like, hey, we need a property, we need a game, and a movie's coming out in 1 year, make a game out of it. And they're like, well, I have a year, what do I do? That's not enough time. Right. Video games take a long time to make, especially now.
I do like some of the games based on movie properties that aren't like Wolverine, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that's more based on the character than the movie. The Ghostbusters video game that came out in like 2009.
Yeah, which is effectively a sequel.
Yeah, like that actually felt like Ghostbusters 3 because they had brought in Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd to write the script of the game. And it had those cutscenes that told a good story throughout the gameplay.
I feel like a lot of them have just gone over to mobile.
Yeah.
Where I don't see them because I don't play a lot of games on my phone.
I don't either.
But I think there is less glaring cash grabs. I don't think like younger people today understand what gaming was like in like on NES, like early, even in up in, into 16-bit era. Like there are sometimes games just didn't work. Like literally, like you buy a $60 video game, you take it in, you plug it home, it doesn't work. Yeah, like people complain about bugs nowadays. The levels
are broken.
Yeah. And like, so in a lot of those early cash grab licensing games, those are the worst. Because, again, they were made in such a short time. I'm thinking of
the Ghostbusters game for NES, the Addams Family game. There was a Blues Brothers game.
Yeah. All those
all those weirdo platformers that it looks just like somebody reskinned Mario almost.
Yeah, and it's such low quality. And I think there's a lot of time where that has carried with me, like, not to trust licensed anything anymore, even though I think we have gotten it's a higher level now. It's not great. Back to what the story of this movie is. Princess Daisy, the stone she has, if they bring her back to Dino Hatton, she makes the meteorite whole again.
Yep.
Only she can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It merges the two dimensions, the two parallel Earths, into one Earth.
Yep.
Why do they want that?
There's a scene in Koopa's, I guess, office where you see the globe.
Yes.
And the entire world is that desert wasteland except for Dino Hatton. And he wants resources. More. He wants more. He's taken over Dino Hatton, and it is a shithole. Like, he knows it's a shithole. And there's a whole other world out there that he can take over.
Okay.
And by merging the two worlds, he'll take over the world.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe this is just a product of they didn't care. they didn't care about this, the ramifications of all these questions, of all these plot holes and stuff like that. Or they didn't have the money to make the things they wanted to, or they couldn't because of limited technology, CGI, even though they...
Dude, it was so ambitious.
Yeah.
So, like, this is legit the first movie to use, like, so Autodesk Flame is a computer system for CGI, and it was the very first film to integrate that method into a feature film. Honestly, like, I got the 4K version. It looks fantastic. Like, there are shots that look great, even by today's standards.
I had the thought when, oh, he's going to merge the Earths. Mm-hmm. He's going to try and take over the new one with his army of 20 Goombas and a de-evolution gun. I guess they have de-evolution guns. But again, that's only 20 guys. The NYPD will take out these people. Like, it's not even, you don't even need the army. You don't need, like.
He's got more than 20 Goombas, but. So you're talking about the scene when they actually do merge?
Well, there's three Goombas in that scene, maybe.
Right.
But it's more like they show his army at one point, his army, and it's not that many. And even then, like, we have billions of human. If it's all of humanity.
We're just led to assume that he's got a ton.
Oh, like, I'm aware.
I think that's it. Okay. Like, they don't have the big, wide, sweeping shot like in Star Wars where you see all the fucking stormtroopers as Darth Vader walks down. That would have benefited, but again, you're probably right. Budget constraints wouldn't allow
They couldn't fit them all in the concrete factory.
Right.
Yeah. They had too many bars with and chicken cages that are the jail and why do all these movies have these same visual styles? That's the other weird thing.
There's another one. Did you ever see Double Dragon?
Yes. Double Dragon also looks like, I was thinking that. I'm like, it also looks like Double Dragon, which is also not, Double Dragon is way worse than this. I'll say that.
Oh, I agree. It's way worse than Super Mario.
If you want to appreciate the high points of this movie, go watch Double Dragon. And then you're like, oh, right.
We watched Double Dragon. It's fine. It's fine. We have a fine time with it, but Super Mario Brothers is hands down the superior of the two video game adaptations with weirdly the same aesthetic.
Yes. And also, like, but you mentioned Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And then, but that Judge Dredd movie very also has some of that in there.
Blade Runner. So the actual production designer did Blade Runner.
Which that makes sense why that overlaps. And Blade Runner obviously is a much earlier film. So you see but also has like, it feels like Brazil at times.
A little bit.
It feels like Running Man, the Arnold Running Man a little bit. It feels like, here's another comparison point. I want to see what you feel about this. Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah.
Just garbage everywhere. Feels like there's lots of garbage. And you're like, why is there so much garbage? Why is this the aesthetic where we just have garbage?
Yeah. That layer of grime.
Yeah, I think that's a big reason why I bounce off this movie is it just feels gross.
It's all the fungus, aka
the king.
AKA that's Bowser, that's King Bowser.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, his name is King Bowser.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I caught that.
And why does he get de-evolutionized all the way to fungus, but whenever we de-evolutionize King Koopa, he turns to slime? I don't know.
Are they a different race? Did they just push Koopa further back?
Maybe.
Lance Henriksen, by the way, plays the king at the very end of the movie. I wanted to throw in. I love Lance Henriksen, so I'm glad he makes a cameo, just smiling. Yeah. He's
coughing out the fungus.
Yeah.
I really dig a lot of the concepts and the visuals whenever they're like de-evolving into Goombas.
I mean, that stuff looks great. That's the special effects, like that's the stuff where you're like, wow, that holds up. That still looks really good. And honestly, there's parts of this movie that are just straight up horror. It's just terrifying. Yeah.
Those are the best movies, Robbie, where it plays in that area where it's like, man, I know this isn't made for kids. This can't be made for kids because that is fucking terrifying.
Well, is it supposed to be funny when Scapelli is turned into a monkey?
I think so.
I thought that's utterly terrifying to me. Like the idea.
Well, okay. So during the transformation, terrifying as the chimp exists, everybody's laughing.
that's
the immediate like, oh, look at the monkey. And don't remember what you just saw as a child.
I didn't have room for this to scare me. I was too busy being scared by arachnophobia. This movie didn't compete. I want to also shout out Iggy and Spike.
I love those two.
They
fucking
might be.
Idiots.
They might be my favorite thing in the movie. I think they actually are. Yeah. Like if I think about it for a second, I'm like, no, those two guys. Like it's very much like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like it feels like that where they're just two kind of bumbling idiots at first, and then they get super smart. They get brain upgrades.
But they're funny on both sides. So it's not like they become smart and they're no longer the bumbling idiots and we can't laugh at them. We're laughing at them at completely different reasons because now they're starting to make quips and little one-liners in contrast to seeing them as fucking buffoons at the beginning. It makes it even funnier.
And they get radicalized.
Yes. Oh my God, calling him a fascist.
They call Koopa a fascist. You need to cite that in the Medium essay. Comparing King Koopa to Donald Trump. Yeah,
because he's a fucking fascist.
You see
all those dictator. All those Koopa signs everywhere. Yeah. Huh? Huh?
I mean, immediately you see them in the background as soon as he gets turned into slime, they're almost immediately like painting them with
Yeah, with getting rid of them.
White paint to cover them up. I would watch an entire movie of just, like, I would watch The Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead with Iggy and Spike, where they are just kind of, you're just following them, and there's, like, you know, Koopa and Mario, and everything's going on, and they're just, yeah. like, you know, pondering life. Like, why?
I'm for it, man.
Bob Hoskins says that he and John Leguizamo were drinking.
Yeah, they would get drunk movie. Before shooting and in between takes, which I hate. I hate to read that, but you know what? It was the 90s.
I mean, also, I don't know if I don't trust necessarily many, like, all these people's, their stories about people on set. I'm like, were they really doing that? Were they, you know, these are, did they mean by drunk? Right. They mean they had a drink,
right? Whatever. I mean, yeah, there was never a point where we got an Orson Welles,
no,
you know, shilling wine.
There's no Cameron like Mitchell's on this in this movie where he's like, there's, yeah, sometimes you're just like, oh, that guy's drunk.
Yeah, why did they leave that in the movie?
It's in the movie. He's just drunk. Yeah. There's none of those. It feels like Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are in control of every scene.
Yeah, they don't phone it in either.
No,
they're doing their damnedest. I think this was John Leguizamo's first movie.
He was in bit parts before this, but this is, I think, his big.
Oh yeah, he was in Carlito's Way.
That's the same year.
Okay.
And then Tu Wong Fu came out a couple years later. And then to this day, still his best role is Romeo and Juliet.
Have you never seen The Pest?
I've seen The Pest. It's up there with one of the movies I hate most in my entire life.
Wow. All right. This is where we're on two sides of the fence, friend.
I send the intro of The Pest to people to troll them.
It's fantastic.
Are you?
It's one of the best intros to a movie ever conceived, my friend.
When they spent 3 days shooting John Leguizamo pantomiming in a shower?
Yeah, it's genius.
Okay.
It's art, Robbie.
Now I know why you like this movie, too. I mean, it's true. It is art. I'm not going to argue that. We haven't mentioned the director's created Max Headroom. You're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I heard that. I'm like, oh, okay. I get it now. I understand. But it's that same aesthetic. We were talking about that. It's that Max Headroom aesthetic. It's this weird, like, I watched the very brief Siskel and Ebert review of this. They both hated it. The way they frame the context of it is really interesting because they talk about the technology in the movie and they really like that. They think it's really impressive. I'm like trying to put myself back in 93. There's no real internet yet. Like, it's in the very early stages of a real internet. Right. Siskel even talks about, like, oh yeah, kids are so good on the, like, computers, and he doesn't even use the word internet. He uses the word like infotech to describe the look of that. I'm like, it probably explains the aesthetics of all these movies we're talking about. Like, it's like this weird burgeoning era of technology and computers mixed with like the weird Blade Runner 80s cyberpunk stuff. And you get this mishmash.
Cool vibes. It is a little long. It could be trimmed up a little bit.
I need to say this, Greg, because I haven't watched this in years. And I put it on and I look at the runtime. I'm like, no, no, it can't.
Yeah.
I guess I understand why, because there's weird parts of this that are very much like, hey, this is like a real movie. I mean, it's not too different from the animated film that they show. They have Mario in the real world and then he isekais his way into not the Mushroom Kingdom, but Dino Hatton with Luigi. Mm-hmm. Also feels like the He-Man movie, Masters of the Universe, in that way where it's like, but it's reverse, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, they're just like, oh, let's spend the
entire... That's the way it should have been. I mean, everybody wants to see that.
No one
don't want to see the normal, regular day stuff.
They don't want to see He-Man in Los Angeles.
No. Screw that.
Yeah, man. It's bad. That contributes to the length. They want to set up all this stuff, and you're like,
yeah.
Do you need?
There's a lot of exposition and info dumping that doesn't quite stick the landing, but there's enough there to cling on to that it's very easy to understand why people love it now versus then. Be it nostalgia or be it that there really isn't much like this.
I saw some people describe this as like, we like it. It's a so bad it's good movie. I'm like, I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad movie. It's not The Room or anything like that. Yeah. It's not Troll 2.
We talked about the acting being fun.
Yeah, it's
just, and the characters actually having chemistry.
It's really strange. And I feel like, again, like I feel like about this, like a lot of the, I feel like a lot of ways about those Tim Burton Batman movies where I would probably like them a lot more if they were entirely divorced from the license. If it wasn't.
If it was its own property.
If it was its own thing. Because then I wouldn't have this notion of like my own idea of like what.
Of who Mario and Luigi are, what the Mushroom Kingdom is.
Right. And all that stuff. It'd be like, oh, wow, this is weird and full of crazy ideas. It still does maintain that degree of fun.
Thanks for listening to the Cult Video Vault. My name is Greg, a.k.a. The Movie Mutant, and you can find all my stuff at themoviemutant.com. And if you're in Fort Worth, stop by Weird Wednesday, the first Wednesday every month.
I'm Robbie Dorman. You can find everything I do on robbiedorman.com, with links to purchase all of my horror novels. You should go buy them, because they're good. I'm Robbie Dorman on all social media platforms, but I'm most active on Instagram.
We'll see you next time in the Vault.